Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Who's ready for the Word of God today? Why don't we stand to our feet? We're going to read Bible today. Turn to someone and say, we're going to go Bible today. We're going to go Bibling. Read the Bible. Reading the Bible is really good. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read the words of Jesus in the Gospels. It says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Say treasures in heaven. "Where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jump down to verse 24. "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry." Say, do not worry. "About your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" How many of you are so glad about that? "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? That's incredibly encouraging passage of scripture. Grab your seat. Today I want to revisit something the Lord had laid in my heart some years ago and brought me around to it again at the start of 2022. And out of this passage here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching something that I think is one of the most liberating and life-transforming truths in the gospel. And today I feel like this is going to be life-transforming for you. I spoke a message last week called, "I Don't Understand What You're Doing." How many of you were here last week for that? If you haven't heard that message, please get onto YouTube or Spotify. That's generally going to help you. I'm actually on a bit of a run here in the pulpit of Maori. I preached last week, I'm preaching this week, preaching next week again. Kind of, you know, trying to give you some truths today that will hold you in good stead for 2022. And today I want to speak to you on the thought, it all goes back in the box. It all goes back in the box. Some of you are going, what are you talking about? It all makes sense to you as I unpack this a little bit later. But you know, I don't play games when I'm saying that this is probably one of the most important sermons that I will ever preach from this pulpit. It's one of the most important sermons because I think that it has got profound impact to change the way that you do 2022 and beyond. And so, you know, at the end of this message, if it feels right by you, why don't you invite someone to come to the 5 p.m. service tonight? But here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's blowing their minds because he's introducing them to a brand new, he's revealing to them, bringing revelation of something that they had not previously considered before. That at any point in a person's life, there are two realities at work. There's an earthly reality and there's an eternal reality. You following me so far? And so this was blowing the mind of the disciples at the time, and he was really introducing to them two things, things that moth and rust can destroy, earthly things, and then this eternal, heavenly things, things that extend beyond this life that we see. So earthly things are what we can tangibly touch, and according to Jesus' definition, it's things that over time can degrade or spoil or can be stolen by thieves or anything that won't matter once we pass from this life to the next. You following me so far? And then there's the eternal part of what Jesus was talking about, that things that may not be tangible here on earth, but will either still remain after we're gone or they're stored up for and awaiting us when we pass from this life to the next. And so Jesus was trying to explain a very difficult thing. He was trying to teach earthly-minded people, people that were living in a reality of the here and now in tangible form, about this whole idea of eternity. And he was teaching the disciples, elevating their thinking to do something that I think would be the foundation to which they would live the rest of their life in becoming the apostles and planning the early church, and to bear the persecution that was coming, that was ahead of them. And it was simply this: to live their lives in the light of eternity. I want to suggest to you today that your best life in 2022 is not to be lived beholden to the temporal, but to live your life in the light of eternity. Yeah. Come on, I need a resounding amen from you. I know we haven't got masks on here in WA. Come on now, you can say yes and amen. In fact, can you do this thing for me? Can you just smile at me? I have missed seeing those smiles. Can you just give me a big cheesy smile? Awesome. some of you, if that is your smile, I fear for the people that are living with you. Seriously. Can you smile at me? Just give me a smile. It's not going to cost you anything. What I'm going to teach you today is going to stormproof your 2022. It's going to give you a foundation to navigate through the uncertainties of everything that the world may throw at you in 2022. Some of you may or may not know Claire Aesthorpe, who is now Claire Goh. She's on our staff, and Claire lived with us for about 8 years in our family. We let her move into our house when she was about 18, and obviously she's now married and expecting her first child, which is very exciting. Claire has an incredible story, an incredible testimony of the grace of God that radically transformed her life. You may or may not know this about Claire, but at one time in her life, Claire was actually in jail. And it was a season in her life where she was actually in and out of jail. And there was this one time where she was in jail where I actually couldn't wait for her to get out, because when she got out of jail, I was really going to make her pay. I'm actually referring to the game of Monopoly. I got you there. Sucked you into listening. That's what I did. Some of you started to look up from your phone because you were scrolling Facebook, I could see. Reading the news. What you don't know about Claire is that she is the most ruthless Monopoly player to have ever walked the earth. Like, this woman, like, she, her voice changes when she plays Monopoly. Like, she refers to herself as, like, us and we. You owe us rent. You know what I'm talking about? Like, she's, like, scary. She would hide money and, like, property cards under her butt so that people wouldn't know how much she had and stuff. She's like a ruthless Monopoly player. And, like, she would absolutely kick my butt. Every time we had games night, like, in the years that she lived with us, we'd have games night. It was, like, Jensen, myself, and Chrissy would play against Claire. Like, we would play, like, the four of us. And Claire would win, like, 9 times out of 10. Like, she was a ruthless Monopoly player. She was almost unbeatable in our household, except for this one Saturday night. Guess who had all the property and the cash on the board? Me. It was a rare occasion, and I could remember it like it was as clear as yesterday. Chrissy and Jensen, I'd run them bankrupt. They were gone. See you later. Out of here. Don't mess with me. It was down to me and Claire, right? Claire was in jail, okay? I had owned all the orange properties and the red properties. So it was coming for her. She was rolling to come out of jail. Bam. Lands on Bow Street with a hotel, yo. $950. Paid me out. Cashed me out. Awesome. It was great. I just felt like, oh, it's incredible. I felt this surge of energy and felt the anointing. It's awesome. I knew I had her by the jugular. It's like, man, like, I had so much cash. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then it was her turn again. I knew that this was the knockout blow. You know how you get the sense of the knockout blow? It was rare for me, but that night I had the knockout blow. You understand what I'm talking about? You know the game of Monopoly, right?
Yeah.
She rolled, bam, Trafalgar Square, hotel, $1,100. I was watching with glee as she painfully mortgaged all her property to get the cash to pay me, and she was counting the money. You could see the disappointment. Just, she was really ticked off. As she was doing it, I heard from a distance in the toilet, "Daddy, boo boo." It was Isaiah. I went and helped Isaiah clean up and all of that sort of stuff. And when I got back to the dining table, it had all been packed up. And Jensen and Claire just said, "Oh, yeah, you won. Well done. Cool." And it all gone back in the box. Think about that for a moment. It all gone back in the box. The last 2 hours of shouting and ranting and raving and celebrating and yelling, "You're cheating, and that's not the rules," and blah, 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 blah. All of that, being so worked up, all of the things that I, all the hotels I bought, all the houses, all of the lucky rolling, all the chance cards, all the passing go, collecting 200, it had all gone back into the box. What am I saying? I'm saying that when you are playing the game, you can get so engrossed in it that you forget that at the end of the game, the same ending comes to every player that has played the game. It all goes back in the box. If you could think about it for a moment, for all of the uncertainty that's going to come your way in 2022, all of the things that may have been a concern for you in 2021, all the turmoil, unpredictability, all the unprecedentedness that is coming our way, one thing you can be sure that is unchanging is that everything you scrounged for, everything you fought for, everything you've accumulated, everything you've acquired, everything you've schemed and scammed and cheated and lied and manipulated and prayed for, and all of the above together, everything you've worried and lost sleep over, anything you took your pills to settle your nerves for, everything that is your current earthly concern, you can be sure that one day the game will be over for you, the game will be over for me, and it all goes back in the box. Yeah. That Saturday night, I just felt so strongly that the Lord actually spoke to me about life itself. Every day you can pick up a newspaper and there is something called the obituary column, the page that lists everyone, the names of everyone to whom the game has finished. It's a collection of people, business people, tradespeople, academics, military heroes, grandmothers, grandfathers, young people, to which the game of life has ended and it has all gone back in the box. And I say this with great sensitivity and respect for those that have passed away, and particularly if you're mourning the death of a loved one, this is not to make light of their life, nor their legacy, nor of your grief. But I'm making a very important point that is uncontestable. It is simply this, that every earthly thing that we expend our lives and time on earth trying to acquire, all our possessions, our titles, our positions, the letters after our name, our reputations, our recognitions, our acknowledgments, our accolades, our opinions, our points of view, none of those things are wrong, but we need to remember that it all goes back in the box. So it would do well for us to live our lives in 2022 and beyond to remember that we ought to live as Christians. God has actually called us to live our lives in the light of eternity. Even right now, as I speak of the earthly and temporal, I'm not sure what your personal beliefs are, or even if you do believe that there is life after death, but I know that if you're here today, something on the inside of you does resonate with it somehow, because you're opening up to the possibility that maybe there's more to life than just what we see here on earth. Because you need to understand, you were not a descendant of a monkey. You were created by God, and God is an eternal being. And because you were created by an eternal being, you were created to be an eternal being yourself. Do you understand that? That's why the book of Ecclesiastes says this in 3 verse 11, He, being God, has made everything beautiful in its time, and He has also set eternity in the human heart. What does that mean? Is that if you've got a human heart beating on the inside of you, you know intuitively, even as I'm speaking, even though your rational thinking might be fighting it, you know deep down that you're actually an eternal being, that there is actually more to this life than just this life. I need a resounding amen if you believe that with me. So why do we live like this life is all that there is? Do you understand how this completely changes the way that we would do life as we see, the way that we respond to external stimuli, the way that we respond to what's going to come our way? When we live life like it all goes back in the box, it changes the game completely. And this is a statement that has radically transformed my life. And when Chrissy and I navigate through the challenges of life, we actually remind each other of this one truth. Take a photo of it on the screen. Write it down in your phone. It's simply this. You are a spirit being having a human experience. Some of us live like this human experience is all that there is, that there's nothing more. Even though we're Christians, we know in concept that there is life after death, that we have eternal life, but we live on the earth like we're temporal beings having this is it. You know, this experience here on earth is like the be all and end all, but you need to understand that you are a spirit being having a human experience. This life that you're seeing right now is just a small, tiny speck of the entire spectrum of the eternal being that you are. And then when you read scriptures now, it's all going to feel and seem different to you, because for so many of us, we read scriptures from an earthly perspective, trying to look upwards. And so we try and get encouragement when we're here on earth trying to get by. But the Bible is actually written for you to read it from heaven's lens downwards. That's why you will see a lot of eternal language that reminds us of who we are, particularly in the New Testament. That's why Peter can dare say this about us. He says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims." What does that mean? It means that you are a journeyman. You are a journeywoman. This is not your home. Hello. It's calling you, giving you a label, reminding you of who you are. That's why you can abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Some of you go, "Oh man, I am just so bound by the temptations of this world. I can't get past it." See, the reason you're thinking and being in that space is because you're not thinking of yourself as the person that's just passing through. Come on, are you out there? Hello. That pavlova, I don't need to eat it. I'm just passing through. Hello. Come on. The reason I'm making light of it, but you need to understand how this completely changes the way that we live here on the earth. Paul reminds you of this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. This is going to blow your mind. I know you've read it many times, but we don't always live it. It's simply this: our citizenship is in Australia. Does it say that? Our citizenship is in Singapore. Our citizenship is in South Africa. It doesn't say that. It says our citizenship is in heaven. It would do us well to remember who we are citizens of. We all sing this song, "I need a shelter, I was an orphan." You know? "You call me a citizen of heaven." We sing it. We like to clap along to it, but we don't really live it. What does that mean? It means that heaven is our home. That is our ultimate destiny, not this. This life that we see on earth is not the be all and end all. And we need to understand that when the game's over, it doesn't matter if you're bankrupt like Claire or if you're a legend like me, it all goes back in the box. When we're playing the game of our lives, and all of the things that we expend our time and talent and energies getting so worked up over, the emotional highs, the emotional lows, it all goes back in the box. That guy that cut you off on the road on the way to church and you like sped up to him and honked the horn and you glared at him and then you sped off so he could see your fish sticker at the back of your bumper. Do you know all those emotions when he cut you off? That all goes back in the box. It doesn't matter eternally. Hello, come on, are you out there? Come on, that neighbor that you're so upset about because their big tree hangs over your yard and like all the leaves like all over your yard. Like, mate, where you're going, there is no yard to clean up. It all goes back in the box. That awkward lady from the other department at work that just always makes life so difficult for you because she's just such a stickler. She's just really, you know, she's so particular about stuff. You just, you know, half high is enough, you know what I'm talking about? Like half done is good enough for you. And like she really annoys you. It all goes back in the box. The day's gonna come when the game's gonna be over for her and you. Yeah. Whatever it is that you're caught up in right now, you gotta remember that it all goes back in the box. That Facebook argument that you've been a part of, right? For the last 2 days, you've been checking that same feed to see if they're like, bam, they come back with something else. And it all goes back in the box. Your opinion's big right now, but it all goes back in the box. Come on, hello, keep scrolling. Move on. If you can think of your life in the light of eternity, it changes completely how you do life here on earth. Can you see how this is going to affect your 2022? That it all goes back in the box. So my question to you is, when you look back at 2021, last year, the things that worried you, the things that kept you up at night, the things that caused you stress, the things that offended you, the things that bothered you, were they eternal things or were they temporary things?
Yeah, great question.
The stuff that you lost sleep over, if you were to really be brutally honest, do they matter in eternity?
No.
What you're bothered by is a reflection of how eternally minded you are.
Yes.
That's a great test. If you want to know how eternally minded you are, because to be eternally minded is life, to be carnally minded is death, Paul says, now you know why. Right, he's trying to make you think like a citizen of heaven. There are three things, I think, that help you to win when you live your life in the light of eternity. When you live like it all goes back in the box, it actually puts you in a winning position. How many of you want to win in 2022? Well, one of the things I believe that is going to help you win in is to win over worry. Come on, when you live like it all goes back in the box, it's really, literally, it alleviates the worry that some of you carry in your heart. Like, oh, I've been in that place, you know. If you go back to the first passage of scripture we read today to open our conversation in the book of Matthew, Jesus talks about not storing up treasures on earth, right? Not investing your life on things where moth and rust destroy and things that really don't matter eternally. And then begins to think, to remind the disciples that there is a heavenward view. There's treasures in heaven that are awaiting us and all of those sorts of things. And then he then goes on to say, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. He can only tell the disciples not to worry about their life after he's taught them to live life in the light of eternity. Because we can walk around telling a stressed out friend, mate, she'll be right, don't worry. It might comfort them in the moment, but I tell you what, when they go home, they're going to be worried again.
Yes.
It is impossible for you to be free from worry until you step out of the temporal and look at your life through the light of eternity and go, it's all going to go back in the box anyway.
Yes.
Do I get a resounding amen? You guys are real quiet today, come on. Online's cheering. Great preaching, PK. If you want the grace to win over worry, live with an eternal mind. You know that house that didn't sell, the rental that didn't come through for you, the promotion that you didn't get. And they're all genuine concerns. They're all things that I'm not downplaying all of those things. Jesus actually said, you know, he said a very confronting thing to his disciples. He said, do not worry about what you will eat or what you will wear, and goes on to talk about the lilies of the field and God looking after them. Now, these are really important concerns in the first century. They're very basic needs, obviously, about what the clothes they will wear and the food they will eat, because eating and being clothed are necessities for life, right? We have far more greater needs now in the 21st century. If Jesus could talk to us in 21st century language, he might not talk about what we would wear, what we would eat, because that's a given. But he might say things to us like this. You might be worried about where your kids are going to go to school. You might be worried about whether your house is going to sell, about the dishwasher that's broken down, about the phone that's just got water damage because it's gone in the Swan River because you took your wife crabbing. It was my fault. You can only not worry about them when you live life invested in things that are eternal.
Yes.
Come on, are you out there?
Yes.
It's not that Jesus is saying you shouldn't have responsibilities, you shouldn't have concerns. What Jesus was trying to do was to stormproof the disciples' lives.
Yes.
Because for all of us, the question needs to be asked, do you have concerns or do your concerns have you? In 2022, do you have concerns? Or do your concerns actually have you? If you were to be really honest, you might say, oh, I'm just a really concerned person. No, you're actually worried. You're actually really worried. It weighs on you. It weighs on your mind. You think about it all the time. You don't have concerns. Your concerns actually have you. And one way for you to be free from that and live the life Jesus has called you to live is to live like it all goes back in the box. I need a resounding amen. This life that you see is not all this life that there is. The second thing that living life in the light of eternity, living like it all goes back in the box, actually helps you to win over. It helps you to win over conflict. It really helps you. How many of you know that we live in a world that's full of conflict, full of drama? Everyone's shouting at each other. No one's really listening to each other. We live in a time where conflict is the big thing. And for some of us, drama and conflict, we just seem to just have it all the time. There are people here, you know, I've been in seasons of my life too, where we go through season after season of like just drama, relational conflict, like, you know, one workplace, fight with people, then you move to the second workplace, fight with people, then move to the third workplace, fight with people, you fight with people at home, fight with people at your cousin's house, fight with people at your mother-in-law's house, and like the common denominator is you. Stuff people say always bothers us and it really triggers us, and you know, we have the highs and lows of like the grudges we hold and the offenses that we take. And 1 Corinthians 3 verse 3, Paul actually addresses them as if they were citizens of heaven and says this to them. It would only make sense if you were actually thinking eternally for Paul to say this: for where there are envy, strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal? That word carnal is directly translated as earthly, and behaving like mere men. That expression, mere men, in the Greek is to behave like someone who thinks like this life is all that there is. Come on, are you out there? If you want to win over conflict, I'm telling you today, live like it all goes back in the box. You know that nasty thing that workmate said about you in that email they sent? It's all going to go back in the box. The game's going to be over for them one day as it will be for you. It doesn't matter. Come on, you need a resounding amen. The thing that neighbor did to you that was so offensive and all of that sort of stuff, it's all going to go back in the box. I know it was hurtful what your father-in-law said about you, but the day's going to come and the game's going to be over for him and you, and it's all going to go back in the box. Ask yourself today, does it really matter eternally? Jesus is giving us the keys to winning over conflict and drama and envy and jealousy and bickering and pettiness and offense. I don't want to say this to you today. Let's be the kind of people that live like everything goes back in the box. If it's not eternal, it doesn't matter. If it's not eternal, it doesn't matter. Water off a duck's back, move on. I'm just a sojourner. I'm just a pilgrim. You insulted me. You called me a name. I'm just passing through. I don't live here. Bye. I wish someone told me this when I was young. I was an Asian kid living in the southern suburbs of Perth. I've been called every name under the sun. Wish I knew that. But I'm just passing through. Call me what you want. Criticize me all you want. I'm just passing through. The third thing that living like it all goes back in the box helps you to do is it helps you to win the focus war. Helps you to win the focus war. What do I mean by that? At any point in your life right now, there is a war between heaven and earth about what your life is focusing on. What are you expending your life on? Some of you have written in 2022 different goals, different things that you want to do, and they're all good things. I'm sure, you know, no one ever aims to do bad things, unless like you're crazy. Most of us would aim to do good things, but there are some things that we find ourselves getting caught up in the year where the focus is not on eternal things. And I want to say this to you today, when you live like it all goes back in the box, it calibrates and orientates you in a place where you are focused on the things that ultimately matter eternally. Paul says this in Philippians 3, verse 13. But one thing I do, if only we could just have that kind of focus that Paul did. He says, but one thing I do, I am going to improve my golf game. That's what Ty wants to do. But he says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, and what is ahead is this, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. He's so singular in his focus, for which God has called me heavenward. Hello. In Christ Jesus, all of us then. So this is Paul saying, this is me, but I am making all of us included in this. I'm wishing this for everyone in the church in Philippi. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. In other words, I'm wishing this mature mindset on all of you. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. I need to preach on this. Here's the thing. It takes great maturity to live like it all goes back in the box. Immaturity is to live like all that I'm seeing right now, this is all that there is. I need to fight, scrounge, manipulate, backstab, argue, hello, to make this life happen. But the mature-minded understand this, that there is so much more to this life than this. Come on, are you out there? And Paul says, all of you who are mature should take a view on this. Maturity is not defined by your age. It's defined by how eternally minded you are. Christian maturity is not defined by how old you are. I know a whole lot of elderly people that are caught up in stuff right now that doesn't really matter. I also know a lot of young people that understand that they're called for greater things. Yes. Come on, are you out there? And Paul then goes on to say, if you don't have this view and become mature, one day God's going to make it clear to you. One day your game's all going to go back in the box and you will find out that there was so much more to this life than just this life. Right. Good preaching, PK. Oh, beautiful background too. Very serene. I love it. All summery and nice. The only thing that will remain in eternity is what you do here on earth that has eternal consequence. Yes. The only thing that will remain in eternity is what you do here on earth that has eternal consequence. The time where you said something to someone that lifted their spirits, that drew them closer to Jesus, that's what matters. The time you spent on your knees praying for someone to get whole, the time when you just shared your testimony. They're the things that really matter. The time when you sponsored a young person to encounter Jesus. Come on, are you out there? They're the things that matter eternally. See, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 3. Again, when you begin to read the Bible, you see it everywhere. This eternally minded view coming through Scripture. It says, by the grace God has given me, Paul says, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build. Build what? Build your life. Build the kingdom of God. Should build with care. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, notice how it's descending value. Clearly, God has a way of looking at what we do, right? Gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw. Their work will be shown for what it is, because the day, that's judgment day, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work while they're on the earth. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. See, the fire of eternity will test what you've spent your life doing. Think about that for a moment. The fire of eternity will test what your life, you spent your life doing. So, if there's anything I want to leave you with, it's a very simple thought to start off 2022 for those of you that are first time here at church again, back in the house of God, is simply this, that the eternal is greater than the temporal. Just live like the eternal is greater than the temporal. Live like it all goes back in the box. It's not that you check out of this life. You still got to live here, and there are concerns of this world, absolutely. But I just want you to live beyond it and know that the eternal is greater than the temporal. There's going to be some things that are going to be coming your way in 2022. Just go, that's temporal. I'm facing you right now, but I'm also just passing through. Come on, are you out there? Hello? Clara was all grumpy at me. She yelled at me in the office, but I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through. It's helping the orientation of a believer to live the life that God has called it to. So if the eternal is greater than the temporal, then what really ultimately is the irreducible minimum of what matters? It's simply this: whether God is real in a person's heart or not. Yeah. Ultimately, what's the most important is about whether people have Christ in their heart. What is the most important? What is the most irreducible minimum? Comes back to the most very basic of all scripture. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I'll tell you what is the irreducible minimum if eternity is greater than the temporary. My prayer is that as many people as possible believe in Jesus. I want to expend my life in whatever capacity I can, in a practical way, whatever, however practical it can be for me right now while I'm here on the earth with able legs and able hands and a mouth that can speak, is to help as many people as possible come to a place where they believe in Jesus. You need to understand, everything else goes back in the box. Every status that we get caught up in right now goes back in the box. And the only status that matters is the salvation status of a person. I need a resounding amen from you. Amen. All that stuff that we get caught up about, all the arguments about vaccination status, all goes back in the box. Hello, the only status that matters is not your marital status, not your vaccination status, not your education status. The only status that matters is your salvation status. That's what lasts in eternity. You need to understand this, friend, and it needs to be said from this pulpit. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Eternity is real. And there's going to be a time where people are going to put me in jail for saying that, but I'm going to keep preaching the gospel until it... Come on. It's eternal. These are eternal truths that are unchanging. You got to understand that we're here on the earth for a reason, but it's only a small window of time. We ought to live life like it all goes back in the box, that there is so much more. We press on toward the goal for the upward call that is found in Christ Jesus. Heavenward. Come on, are you out there? Don't get caught up in the stuff that doesn't matter. You could have like you're fully vaccinated and 27 booster shots and still go to hell. Hello. You could be unvaccinated and catch COVID and still go to heaven, and vice versa. It doesn't matter. Married, single, educated, not educated, your status on the earth doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is your salvation status. Lord, let us be the kind of church, no matter come what may in 2022, be caught up in lost, found, disciples made, nations reached. That's all that matters. Because at the end of time, when you stand before an audience of one and the fire of eternity tests the work of your life, I don't want to be found just... I've had a bit of straw and a bit of hay that burns up. I want my life to matter, to do what matters eternally. I need a resounding amen. Yeah. Musicians, you can join me. So what should we focus on in 2022? So many things to worry about, Pastor. There's so many things, like people are asking me questions about things that I don't have answers for because they're just things that are all going to go back in the box anyway. So why worry about? If I have an answer now, it's going to change next week. So what would Paul say if he was here on the pulpit? He would say this to us in 2022. Put that scripture up in Corinthians. This is what we fix our eyes on. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Come on. On what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So you got to be mature to catch this. You got to have the mind to kind of go, okay, I get this now. This life that God has for me while I'm here on the earth, I'm seeing and living and experiencing the temporal, which is tangible. But my heart is living like all of that's going to go back in the box. And I'm investing my life on the things that really matter eternally. Yes. My prayer for you today is that in 2022, that we would become our original status, which is citizens of heaven. Yes. That we would assure ourselves of our salvation status and be in right standing with God. That we would deploy our lives on the things that really matter. And as we do, my prayer is that no matter what comes our way, whatever storms may come in 2022, we will look at those things and go, I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through. Is that helpful to you guys? Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise today? Come on, why don't you stand to your feet?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.